Let's go to Daniel. Let's just get some teaching done tonight. I want to circle around in these days and make sure that everybody knows what to do. So I'm going to talk about strategic moves and the good fight of faith. Strategic moves and the good fight of faith. Daniel 11:32. Hallelujah. Where's Daniel? Just go to Matthew and start backing up. It's over there. It's on page 1055 in the Kenneth Copeland Bible. I don't know where it is in your Bible. That's where it is in mine. And then if you go over to 11, are you there? Praise the Lord. God is good. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So the first part of that's talking about an evil leader coming in and corrupting people who are already heading in that kind of direction. They're already messed up in their thinking. But the second half of this verse are people like you and me. The people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do great exploits. Psalm 60:12 says, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down enemies. Isn't that good? Now I want you to notice in that verse that it didn't say the people who know their God shall be defeated all the days of their life and then go to heaven. It's not what it said. Sure it didn't. Are they, you know, the people that know their God, you know, they're going to do a little good on the earth. Or a few of them with special faith are going to do great things. No, it said that we would be strong, said that we would do great exploits, do valiantly, because God treads down the enemy. Now, go over to 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Did y'all love Casey and Parrish?
Oh, yeah.
They're so sweet. I'm telling you, we talked from Friday night to Sunday night.
Yep.
And we still didn't get it all done. I mean, we would move from the restaurant to the parking lot, to the house, to the porch, to the, and so we ended up, we have something in the holler group called, wave at the curb. Me and Deb and Ann and John and their followers, we all stand out and wave until you drive off. That's just what we've always done with each other. And so, I mean, we're just doing that. Okay, there they go. But they'll be back. Praise the Lord. So such wonderful people and so full of great revelation. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the word fight here would be the word contend. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, this is not spiritual warfare where you're yelling at the devil. The devil's defeated. There is a battle going on, but it's a battle in your mind. It's a battle in your mouth. So whatever's in your mouth, in your mind is going to come out of your mouth. So the enemy only has one way to get to you. If he can deceive you, then he'll steal and kill. And listen, he can tell when he's making inroads. He can tell. You start hanging your head. You start looking discouraged. You start mumbling and grumbling because he doesn't know what you're thinking. He can't read your mind. He doesn't know your thoughts. He has watchers and they're watching you. They want to know what you're doing and then they send those thoughts. They work like the angelic forces, only not as good. But the angelic forces are there protecting you, watching you. If you say the right words, they react.
Yeah.
The same way with demon spirits. If you say what they want to hear, they'll start putting extra things in your thoughts. Amen. There's a real world out there in the spirit, church. It is the truth. Don't be dull to that. Now, so you start mumbling, you're grumbling. So he knows he's about to get you. If he just presses in with a little more affliction, we'll look at it. They're already upset. They're already this. They're already that. If I just press a little harder, if I just persecute them a little more, if I just put something out there for them to trip over, then I've got them. That's what he does. And, you know, you fold up and quit. How many quitters do we have in the church tonight? Zero. We're not quitters. We don't quit. There's nothing to quit to, church. There's nothing to quit to. There's nothing out there any better than what we're doing right now, living in God and living in the Word. Amen. So great things can happen through us. The Word said that those who know their God would be strong and they would do valiantly. They would be valiant people, okay? And so we're going to do well if we know our God. And I believe that we can certainly know Him better, but we certainly are getting to know Him. Amen. So we're courageous and we expect to win. I believe the Word. Do you believe the Word?
Yes.
I believe the Word. Church, you must know that if you're going to win in this world, you have to stay in a state of resistance. Or you'll just float right on down the stream with all the rest of the junk. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to stand. And it doesn't mean it's hard all the time. You just oppose. Resisting means oppose. You walk by that TV and they're blah, blah, blah and say, "That's not my life. That's not my thought. That's not where I'm going. That's not, I'm not receiving that." That's resisting. Amen. So you fight the good fight of faith. You stand. Never get tired of resisting because that's doing well. That's Galatians 6. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." So resisting is opposing. Whatever he says, you do the opposite. Yeah. Amen. Talk about the devil. Whatever he gives you the picture to do.
Yeah.
You do the opposite. Listen, there's a quite few of us in here that enjoyed rebellion at one time or another. The Lord told Brother Copeland, he says, "Just treat the devil like you used to treat me." That's just the truth. You just ignored what I had to say. You went the opposite of what I'd say to do. Just do that to the devil. Just don't take his stuff. We're pretty good practice at that. We ought to be able to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The question is for us is, what'll help us with this? Because we know that we have to fight the good fight of faith, and we know that it's casting down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We know that. In fact, I'm going to read you the scripture just in case you're new at this. This is 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What you know about God, what you know about the promises, how you know God behaves, all those things that say, "You ain't going to make it this time." Well, God said you would. Well, you're not going to get it. Well, God said you would. You're going to die. Well, God said you wouldn't. Amen. So bring the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive. You're going to have to capture it. You're going to have to capture every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're going to have to say, no, that's not the truth. This is the truth. Now, the most important thing here is this. I'm going to say this to you. The abiding Word is what is going to make the difference in your life. The abiding Word, the Word that is staying with you, the Word of God. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my Word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you." Now, church, that's not, if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, that's not, well, since you're abiding in the Word, I'm gonna bless you. Has nothing to do with that. It's not a trade-off of your behavior. Okay, that has nothing to do with it. This actually is telling us when you cast down imaginations, let me back up. I don't want to say that yet. If the Word is in there, you can get it out here. That's what I need to say about it first. If the Word is in here, you, in here, you can get it out here. And that's when what you desire comes to pass. If the word is in here, you get it out here, you can change an atmosphere. Amen. You can draw in what belongs to you. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up. That's what the word says. If the word is in you, you're abiding in God, you're abiding in Christ, then your desires are going to be right. You're going to pray the desires, and they're going to come to pass. Amen. So we cast down those imaginations. What are we doing? We're changing our mind. No, I'm not. No, no. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. No, devil, it's not going to happen that way. It's going to go this way. God is with you. Be bold. Be strong. Amen. Don't be afraid. You're not going down. Amen. Now, when the abiding word is in there, it's everything's just much easier. Because you have that truth in your mind. It's coming from your heart up into your mind. So you know. Now, there's things you know right now that if I said a certain something, you would go, uh-uh. You would. You gonna try it? Okay. Well, you know, God, He knows the day you're gonna die, and He's appointed that day, and you're gonna die on that day. No. See? All of you are like, no, that's not Bible. It's appointed to you 120 years, and you go till you're satisfied. That's what the Bible says. Right. Well, you know, God is mysterious. His wonders, what does He say, to perform. And we never know what God will do. You sure do know what He'll do. You got that word. He's already told you what He'll do. Amen. So there's a lot of foolishness that goes on. And there's a lot, and there's things, just crazy things. I'll try not to jump ahead too far here. But we already, you don't even hardly have to cast that down. You just know. You just know. Now the big one today is, am I gonna make it? You are.
I am gonna make it.
And you're gonna make it good.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, here's some thoughts that I just want to give you for tonight. And I want to talk along a few lines. Here's some thoughts that would rise against you. We just did a few, but let's do this. There are what we call situations. Okay, poverty is a situation. There are circumstances. Trouble is a circumstance. There are symptoms. Sickness is symptoms, okay? Imaginations, arguments, theories, reasoning, every proud and lofty thing, those are all the things that we would oppose. Well, you know, we might get over into the great. No, we probably won't. No, we won't. Come all the way back. The word is the truth. And whatever the word says, it needs to be final authority. But you're going to have to decide if it's final authority. What is the final authority? Vitamin C is not the final authority. Come on. I take it every day, but it's not my final authority. Well, you know, you're some years old now. That's not final authority. The Word of God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, we oppose those things. Now here's the thing. We must not just learn this in theory, but we need to exercise it, okay? With the thoughts, the feelings, the sights that are trying to hinder us, we have to change our mind. We have to put those things out. We have to not just think about this when we're here right now, but when you're drying your hair, when you're brushing your teeth, when the bill comes in the mail, when the diagnosis comes back, when the air conditioner doesn't work, when the refrigerator's broken, whatever it is. These are the times when we have to oppose the enemy, resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you. No, you're not getting it. No, you're not. You're not having that. And there are a lot of good promises that help you oppose. Amen. Now, there's an instrument on a plane. I can't think of what it's called. Is Larry here? Larry can probably call it out, but it's the vertigo thing. If you tip a wing, you'll see it. You can tell. What? Okay. What he said. No, I'm just kidding. Artificial horizon. Okay. So you're looking at it. I mean, you understand that people could fly upside down and not realize it. Yeah. Am I right? They could, it's called vertigo. That's exactly right. What you want to stay out of is spiritual vertigo. You have an instrument and it's sitting in your lap. The word of God is your instrument and you can fly by it and it's never going to be wrong. It'll tell you if you're upside down. It'll tell you if you've tipped a wing. It'll tell you if you're not going the way you need to go. The word of God can be trusted every time. This word is so important. It's so valuable in our lives. It's our instrument. We have to trust it. And I've been waiting. It's been 14 days. It hadn't happened yet. Trust the word. Trust the word. You have to trust the word. The word of God says, my God shall supply all. Well, everybody in here knew the scripture. Interesting. Is it true?
Yes.
Then what you got to worry about? Exactly. Well, the only thing about that one thing is that's not for every Christian. It's for the giver.
Exactly.
But we're still safe here because we're 100% givers in the room. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He was talking to the givers in Philippi. So if you're a giver, it works. Now, here's something for every Christian. God, actually every person except, well, it's every Christian now. He started with every person, with Adam. But he put the blessing on you. He conferred the blessing on you. You right now as a Christian are wearing the blessing. Right now you're wearing the blessing. It is an anointing. It's a garment. It's a spiritual garment that you're wearing that causes favor and prosperity to come to you. God gave that to mankind. Adam lost it. Jesus got it back. That's where we see the blessing and the curse. Well, the blessing isn't, that's not just a word. The blessing is an actual anointing.
Amen.
Amen. And so there's so much we could say about that. But so when things start going the wrong way, you're wearing the blessing. You are wearing the blessing. You are anointed. All these things are things that you know out of the scripture. God said he would bless you. So you don't have to be broke. You don't have to be broke. The word says Jesus paid for your healing. What are we going to say about that? And say, okay, I'm going to agree with that. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just wanted to say those few things just to jar your thinking. But now, let's just walk toward the victory on this. And I just want to tell you a few things that will help you in walking the right direction here. Number one is learn to recognize Satan's activities. It's going to be anything that is contrary to the word of God. That's what it's going to be. It'll be in circumstances. It'll be in situations. It'll be in symptoms. It'll be in influence. And it'll be in thought. Fear comes with thought and influence. You know that feeling you get? Ugh. That's how the enemy operates with that. But you need to not have any fear because the God of the universe is on your side. Number two. So first one, know how Satan operates. Number two, speak to the mountain and not about it. Well, I'm going around to each person and I'm telling them my problem. I'm going to tell every single person I meet. I'm going to tell them what's wrong. I'm going to tell them what's wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Tell you what's wrong. Tell you what's wrong. Tell you what's wrong. No, just speak to the mountain.
Right.
You don't have to tell everybody about it.
Right.
Amen. It's so important. You can be talking to and getting rid of the thing. Number three, make a choice and say it out loud.
Amen.
Make a choice and say, no, I will not go that way. Yes, I have forgiven. Yes, I will forgive. Yes, I will love. Yes, I will say the right thing. Yes, I will live and not die. Yes, I am prosperous. Yes, I am healed. I already feel better. Amen. Make a choice and say it out loud. I've heard so many people like, well, I don't have to say it out loud because God knows. You ain't talking to God. You're talking to the devil. You're talking to your own mind. God knows. He'll agree with you. Amen. You're saying it to you. You're going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to happen for me.
Okay.
I'm not a trouble magnet.
No.
I'm not living under Murphy's law. Well, I'm defeated. Nothing ever works for me. If something bad can happen, it happens to me. You better get yourself out of that quick.
Right.
Days don't have to be bad. You know what I've been saying to y'all for years? It's not just another manic Monday. Oh, no. Praise the Lord. Number four. Resist Satan and draw near to God. That's what the Bible says over in First Peter 5. Draw near to God. Submit to God. Humble yourself before God. And resist the devil. When you're in there thinking, and you're combing your hair, or putting on your lashes, ladies. I mean, put on your lashes. And they're saying, and something's saying, no, that's not the way it's going to go.
Come on. That's right.
It's not going that way. It's not
going to
go that. I'm not going to have it. No, you're not going to get my thoughts. I'm not spending one thought on that. Amen. Okay, so number five, speak the word. Say what the word is saying about it. Well, it looks like we're going to go under. I don't know if we'll make the payment. Find a word on that. What did God say about that?
Right.
Number six, apply faith. Here's the big one. Apply faith until you get results. Apply. Don't you just come here. Oh boy, we had a hoop-de-doo. I got a scripture. I'm standing on that scripture. Praise the Lord. Days go by.
Okay.
And you didn't even apply your faith again. You just get up the next morning and say, you know what I heard yesterday is true today.
Yep.
I'm going to quote that same scripture today. Let's just take one. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Well, I found that out in church. So the blessing is working. The blessing is working. I'm not going to toil because the blessing is working. And so when Monday comes, I'm not going to toil because the blessing is working. On Tuesday, I'm not going to toil because the blessing is working. On Wednesday, I'm not going to toil because the blessing is working. Oh, I went to work and that smart aleck person I work with in the cubicle next to me. What a smart aleck. He mad and always mad and upset. I'm not changing for him because the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
My fish died. The blessing of the Lord. My dog was over at the neighbor's. The blessing of the Lord. On and on and on. The cow got out. The blessing of the Lord. We're in the hill country. We talk about dogs and cows. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Number seven, stay away from wondering. That's wavering. Don't get double-minded. The big why is your biggest enemy. Why? 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 Why hasn't it happened yet? Why? Poor me. If you believed God, you wouldn't be feeling like that.
Hey, that's right.
Am I making you mad?
I'm
making you happy, making you just steering you to the right way. You got to go the right way. You're going to have to go the right way. If anybody would have answered, yes, you're making me mad, I'd say, good. Because then you'll challenge me and you'll go find out that I'm right about this. There's no pity party that anyone else is going to go to. If you're in self-pity, you're the only one at the pity party. You're the only one. And ever few people, well, Miss Deb will. She'll come give you a little pat and say, okay, come on. Maybe twice, but then you call her up the third time, she's going to let you have it. Praise the Lord. Straighten up. I'm just playing. It's playing, Deb. Sort of. All right. So stay away from that. Stay away from that wondering. Why hadn't it happened? Why hadn't it happened? Well, if you have any inkling of why it hadn't happened, go back over the first ones we just talked about. Amen. Where are you in all that? What are you talking about? Are you talking the symptoms? Are you talking the problems? Have you gotten out of being patient about it? The Bible says through faith and patience, Abraham obtained the promises. You have to have a consistent way of living. So just because you don't see that thing this evening by the time we get out of here, which you might, but if you don't, it'll still be all right. Because if you have it, if you're seeing it with the eye of your spirit, then you already have it. But you can't let the devil talk you out of it.
Yep. Good.
Number 8, last one. Understand that it is the word that does the work. You got to get that, church. It's the word that does the work. Satan doesn't give a flip about you. He doesn't care what goes on with you. He's afraid of the word. The Bible says he comes immediately to steal the word because the word will not return void. So if you keep the word of God alive on the inside of you, it will not return void. It will do exactly what it says it will do. And he doesn't like that because once it gets lodged down in your good ground, it's really hard. It's easy to get a seed out, but it's hard to pull that big old tree out. So he's trying to get rid of it as fast as he can, but he loses. Amen. Glory to God. So that you have to understand that the word will work. That one of the most precious stories I ever heard out of Romans. Give me just a minute to read it to you. I can quote it. I want to read it to you. Romans 10. Brother Copeland met this man. He went into him. The man was sick. And he said, Mr. So-and-so, he said, it says here in the word that if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that, and the man said, that's enough. Gotta go. Please leave. Mm-hmm. And Brother Copeland closed his Bible, walked out the door and said, Lord, even half of your word will not return void. It will not return void. Get a phone call in the middle of the night. Copeland, I need to know what the rest of that verse says. How about that? It did not return void. The word will not return void, church. It will accomplish where it's sent. It'll accomplish whatever it's supposed to do. It will get the job done. You have to understand that the word does the work. Amen. Miracles don't make believers. They don't. They make wonder and amazement, and even people begin to glorify God. But if you remember on the day of Pentecost, everybody was wondering. There was a miracle happening in their midst. People were talking in languages they'd never had before. There was a glory in the air that they had never experienced before. But they were in wonder and amazement until Peter stood up to preach. And when he began to claim the word of God, 3,000 people got saved and joined the church. The word will not return void. Thank you, Jesus. It'll accomplish what it needs to be done wherever it's sent. Now, before we close here, I want to give you just one more topic that I believe will really help you in fighting the good fight of faith. I want to talk to you about emotions. Stay in. Lock the door, Bill. We don't want anybody in. Just kidding. Emotions have no bearing on the truth. Now, remember our instrument here. We have complete confidence in the word to the point that our faith can override our feelings. Even to the thing, if somebody just smacks you with an ugly word, you can say, God loves me, and I really believe they love me. And if they don't love you, it doesn't matter anyway, because it's none of your business. Amen. It's none of my business whether you love me or not. It's my business to love you. That's hard. That's a hard saying. That saying saved my life forever. I don't have to be concerned about rejection anymore. Amen. Now, so we don't make decisions based on feelings alone. They have something to do with it, but they have to be way down the line. If you feel sick, the word says you're healed. Amen. If you're in trouble, the word says you're delivered. If you're lonely, the word says that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. He's with you. So now, the very reason why we deal with negative emotions is because we suffer from something called rejection. Okay? Every person has suffered from rejection. from conception all the way up to however old you are right now, probably when you were very young, even some of you may be in the womb, you felt rejected. Somewhere, y'all are quiet. This is just the truth. It is the truth. You've been rejected. Somewhere, somebody said something to you. Maybe your parents were perfect. Maybe it didn't happen till the teacher showed up. I don't know. I kind of doubt that. But, somewhere you were rejected. And so you, in life, we have to deal with that. There are two kinds of rejection. One is overt rejection. That's outer rejection. That's this. I can't stand you. Leave me alone. Go away. I knew you'd never amount to anything. Did you see here how good I sang? Yeah, but I think you were out of tune on the third line. It's that kind of stuff, okay? Where they always find something wrong with you. Are there some edge to it? Or they just can't stand you? Or whatever abuse happens, everybody's dealt with it some way in their life. And then there's covert rejection. A lot of people don't recognize this one. It's called overprotection. Overprotection. I need to do this for you because you can't. I need to do this for you because you can't do it. That's rejection, church. You can't handle this situation, so I'm going to remove you from it. Amen. You can't, so I'll just take you out of it. That's not good for anybody. Amen. I'll just move you on. That's telling them that they can't make it in the situations. People have done that to their kids a lot. Where they're acting like, now honey, we know that you can't cope with this, so we'll just do this. That is rejection on steroids. Amen. Now, what we see here is, since we've all suffered from it, because we have to deal with certain symptoms and responses that we have to other people and situations. There's things that lodged in you because you felt these things. We had a friend one time, and we were babysitting the child, and the child had never been told no, and they were either, it's not their fault because they're hungry or they're sleepy or they're tired or they're, you know, there's all, oh, they're just that. They're just that. Just excuse, always excuse, always excuse. And, Pastor Deb wouldn't let that be. No, we're taking care of you for a whole week and you're going to obey the rules. Amen. And at the end of the week, that child wrapped her arms around Pastor Deb and said, thank you so much. I love you and I know you love me. They're looking for boundaries. They're looking for your nose. Not your nose, your no. Anyway, that was for free. Okay, now, so we're going to have to deal with people and situations. So remember this, church. I want you to remember this. No one can cause emotions in another person. Now wait for it. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. They stimulate your emotion. They stimulate an emotion that's already there. If I say, you made me angry, then what I can do is I can totally put the blame on you and I can walk away with no guilt. You did it. it's your fault. You made me angry. But you didn't make me angry. You only stimulated something that was already going on inside me. This will help your relationships. Two people like it. See, you feel better if you can assign and lay the blame on someone else. Man, they made me mad. Well, they could be in the wrong, but you didn't have to react. Yeah, we don't like this part. But it's true. Praise the Lord. So, if you can lay the blame on someone, then you can walk away from the encounter learning nothing, concluding that that the other person was at fault because they made you angry. It was them. They did it. And so you never learn anything like that. It's always someone else's fault. But if you begin to look and realize that things are coming from your own rejection situation, then every time you have an emotion, you can learn something from it. Why did I act like that? Why was I threatened? Why did I want to smell of the mustard when they said that to me? Some of y'all get that. D-mite. We used to say that. Why did Tabasco sauce come up my legs when they said those words to me? Right? Or why did that make me fearful? Or why, when they decided to do that, did my stomach just drop out and I just felt like nobody loved me? See, these are things that we all need to look at, and it happens to all of us. But you go in and you find out and you ask Holy Spirit to show you, what is that what's driving this in me? Why did I get jealous because they all went to the coffee shop without me? Well, I don't have to be invited everywhere. That's why. Well, but no, I don't. Yeah, but no. You need to look at yourself and say, no. There's 100 friends running around with each other. You don't need to be in the center of it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Well, why did they leave me out? Well, they're going to Oklahoma and they didn't ask me. Go get a ticket and let's go. Go with us. We will be in Tulsa.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah.
How many of y'all are going? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. There's 6 of us going there. Hallelujah. So are you getting with me on this? Now you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit and you will heal up from this. You can actually come face to face with the situation that always bothered you and completely be healed and go, yeah, I'm good. Amen.
Yeah.
Quiet in the church. Praise the Lord. We can't walk away from the encounters blaming everybody else.
Yeah.
Amen. If I accept the thesis that others stimulate emotions already present, then it could become a learning experience. I can ask myself, why am I afraid? Why am I angry? Why did that threaten me? Then I can begin dealing with my emotions in a profitable way. And here's the big thing. The devil can't use them against me. That's the big thing. I cannot escape the easy way out of just blaming other people. Amen. No thought, no emotions need to control us and ruin our lives. I'm going to say something else. It just came up in my spirit. No person should control you and ruin your life. Because people will manipulate, they'll ventilate, they'll dump their garbage on you, they'll try to control you, only it's their human nature. It's just human nature sometimes. And people, particularly people that love to live at peace at any price, will go ahead and just say, okay, yeah, okay, okay. But that's people controlling you. Manipulation is a bad thing. You don't need to live in that, and you don't need to be the manipulator either. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's something that you really have to look at in your life, because particularly if you carry a lot of authority, you need to make sure you're not manipulating other people. Check yourself out. Amen. You know, there's certain things that you can make a quality decision on and you'll stick with it. You'll stick with it. I made a quality decision not to agenda preach. So I just want you to know that it's something I say. If you're saying, oh, she's talking right to me, she must know, or she must be judging. No, I'm not. I made a promise to God that I wouldn't just preach to try to straighten everybody out. I won't, and I surely won't prophesy it. It isn't going to happen. Now, and when I'm prophesying, I'm in a total other zone. I don't even know. People say, well, I don't know. It's just God. But I made a promise. So preachers, you do that too. And folks, you do that too. Just decide you're not going to compromise with the enemy. Amen. You're not going to be the one rejecting, and you're not going to be the rejectee. You're not going to be the manipulator. You're not going to be the one with all the excuses. You're not going to be the one that dumped. We call it, when you ventilate on someone, you just come in and dump all your garbage. Right. How was your day? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Here's the trick to this. Just be honest. And know where it all comes from. And the big thing is, you are not alone. We've all dealt with both sides of this thing. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The big secret to this is that you are spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit needs to control you, not your soul. So you have to move the self out of the middle and put Christ in the middle. And then you do that by doing Romans 6. You reckon yourself dead to the flesh and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You put Christ in the center, even your body will begin to heal up. If you put Jesus in the center, all the emotional stuff that caused your sickness, or the attack, it'll go away.
Amen.
Well, are you trying to tell me that emotions cause all the trouble? About 90% of it. About 90% of it. Amen. There are other reasons. They're just flat out attacks sometime. Or there's just things that happen to the body. And we live in a world, you know, there's junk in the world. But I'm telling you, all of those things, a whole lot of those things can be helped if you will put Jesus in the center of your life. And guess what? It's daily. It's absolutely daily. No, I'm not going to have self in the center today. No, I'm going to think about other people today. No, I'm going to trust God today. If you're not trusting God, you're putting self in there, church. We still have 10 minutes. I can rail on a little bit longer, can I? You don't put yourself in there. That's you want to take control back. Just leave it to Jesus. Tell him what you want. Tell him how it is. Tell him I'm actually trusting you, Lord. I trust you that we'll get through this. I trust you that I am healed. I trust you that you'll show me the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to lay out the plan. Like I told you the other day, Lord, what do you see out there? Nothing. Okay, I'll come back tomorrow. What do you see out there, Lord? Nothing. I'm like, okay, I get the message. Stop trying to create something that he's not ready to show you what it is yet. And so you back up and clear off the table and wait for his plan to come. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all receive this tonight? Thank you, Jesus. I think we're done. Let me look here. We're people who are in the know. We know our God. We know he's a good God. We're going to do these exploits. We're valiant people. And we do it through God, not ourselves. We don't have anything to brag about. We can brag about our God. We need to be like those four lepers that were laying outside of Samaria when the famine was on. And they said, let's get up and walk out to the Syrian camp. We might as well. And so all four of them start walking down the road. They went ahead and they stepped out and they took a chance and just trusted God. Now that's having to trust God. Well, they're going to die anyway. So they might as well go after what God wants to do. So that, imagine them walking down the road, four lepers, you know, parts missing, you know. They're walking down the road. We're going to make it. And then I could just see them in the tents of the Syrians. I mean, it's like being in Walmart all by yourself. Let's pick a better store. Okay. It's like being in Dillard's all by yourself. Over in the purse section. Woo! The shoes are right by that. I'm kidding. They were in there and they're, you know, they're singing that old song. It was that old song that they used to sing in cartoons. We're in the money. You know, they're just saying, and then they go, oh, we got people back there starving. So, I don't know. I just wonder if they got up and were able to run back. I just wonder if that was added to them. If they just got up and took off. And they went back there. And the only person who didn't get in on it was the guy who said he didn't believe it. And they trampled him and it was over. We need to be like those people. Let's get out in the front. Let's believe God. Let's move forward. Let's don't trust the flesh. Let's don't look at our emotions. Let's say no to the devil and let's get what God has for us so that we can change the world. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.